You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
Free at last. We are free. Free from Kevin Pizzullo. We're finally free from Kevin Pizzullo. Oh my God, we don't have to watch another offense of his any longer. We don't have to watch mediocre passing concepts. We don't have to watch 3rd-and-12 draws. We don't have to watch 4 hitches, 4 verts. We don't have to watch any of that anymore, hopefully. Oh my God, we're free. Kevin Pizzullo has been fired. Not fired, technically. He's just been relieved of his offensive coordinator duties. Might stay with the staff, whatever. Ball boy, Gatorade boy. Moral support. I don't care what your position is, but he's far away from the offense. Thank God. Oh, my God. What a great week this is because of that news specifically. What's going on, y'all? Thank you for another episode of the Philly Pod. Thank you for tuning in, I should say, to another episode of the Philly Pod. I'm your host, as always, Victor Williams from Eagles Wire of USA Today. Be sure to follow me on all social media platforms over at the Philly Pod. We are free from the shackles that is Kevin Pizzullo. The Pizzullo nightmare is over. We're going to have PTSD for a little bit, but we can finally move on and have some optimism about the Eagles offense moving forward. The Eagles are reportedly making a change at offensive coordinator. This was announced 2 days ago by the team. Nick Sirianni made a statement. Apparently, it was his choice to move on for Kevin Pizzullo. I don't know how that. I don't know how true that is. But hey, whether Lurie told him to or not, this is the reality now. No more Kevin Pizzullo offenses run in Philadelphia. The Nick Sirianni statement: I've decided to make a change at offensive coordinator. I met with Kevin today to discuss the difficult decision, as he is a great coach who has my utmost respect. He has been integral to this team's success over the last 5 years. Not only to the on-field product, but behind the scenes as a valued leader for our players and organization. I have no doubt he will continue to have a successful coaching career. Ultimately, when we fall short of our goals, that responsibility lies on my shoulders. So two things that news tells you. Number one, Nick Sirianni is staying. Wasn't really much doubt that he would leave, but it was a conversation. But Nick Sirianni staying. And he has made the decision to move on from Kevin Pizzullo. He said that he believes he'll have a good coaching career. Leads me to believe it will not be here, but McLean reported that he could stay on the staff. So whatever, I don't care what you do, but you're not running the show anymore. So that is fine with me. What a depressing year it was. The Eagles finished 19th in scoring, 24th in yards. The worst marks of Nick Sirianni's 5-year tenure as head coach. There was just so many moments throughout the season that us as fans, I consider myself to be a fan, even though I cover the team, but I know like the whole journalistic approach of, you know, you're not supposed to be a fan. You're supposed to remove yourself and be an objective reporter, whatever. I don't consider myself to be a reporter, but we cover the team and we have emotional investment in the Philadelphia Eagles. And if us as fans can tell that there's something broken within the offense and a change should have been made long ago. And even going back to Jalen Hurts' press conferences, or not even really his press conference, his media availability following the Super Bowl. And they asked him, hey, you know, if Kellen leaves, how confident are you in Kevin Pizzullo? And Hurts essentially said, like, he'll have a new role. We'll see how it goes. Like, there was no confidence in that man's voice whatsoever. And his mannerisms and body language throughout the season, you could tell this man did not mess with Kevin Pizzullo or his scheme or any of his insight. Like, Jalen Hurts was reading the shit that Kevin Pizzullo was giving him and saying, what in the hell am I looking at? What the? Are we serious? Are we dead ass right now? Like, this is like some of the concepts that are going on in this game. Like, the offense was remedial stuff. Defenses, they could predict everything was happening. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, when Chicago beat down the Eagles, C.J. Gardner-Johnson basically alluded that, hey, man, that offense is childish. That offense is childish. They are not doing anything crazy over there, and it's easy to sniff out. And as talented as Hurts is, and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert and Saquon Barkley and Tank Bigsby now, and all the talent you have on offense, it's a damn shame that you cannot routinely put up 20 points in an NFL game with all that offensive firepower. Following their Week 9 bye week, the Eagles surpassed 20 points only 3 times, including the wild card game where they only put up 19 points. They couldn't even put up 20 points in a playoff game at home against the worst defense in the postseason that had literally nobody, no Fred Warner, nobody on defense. And you couldn't put up 20 points. You didn't deserve to win the game. You didn't deserve to go on a run. You certainly didn't deserve to repeat as champions with the offensive product that they put out on the field this season. And it's a shame because the defense was on fire. If I'm Vic Fangio, I'm upset. I'm looking at Petullo and Sirianni like I carried this team all year long, and this is what happens. We get in the postseason, and the offense can't help us out a little bit. Yes, we gave up touchdowns to DeMarcus Robinson. Yes, McCaffrey got loose a few times, but he's Christian McCaffrey. Y'all, we still limited the offense to 23 points. You couldn't score 24. One of the most talented offenses in the league, and you couldn't score 24 points. If I'm Fangio, I'm livid. But hey, Fangio's, you know, doing his job, and we'll hopefully get another offensive mind in here that can run at least an NFL-caliber offense, and I look forward to watching that. Because that's the pattern, right? We expect to do well next year because in 2022, Shane Steichen was here. Eagles went to the Super Bowl. 2023, Brian Johnson was here. Wild card exit, internal hire, wasn't great. 2024, Kellen Moore comes in, win the Super Bowl. 2025, Kevin Petullo gets the job. Internal hire, wild card exit, shit hits the fan. 2026, if the pattern continues, another bright offensive mind in here. Super Bowl appearance could be on the horizon. Hey, the pattern's there. That's all I'm saying. So sorry, Kevin Petullo. Won't miss you. Maybe you'll go on to do something else. But your name will forever be etched in Eagles history as one of the worst offensive seasons we have ever watched in our lifetimes. And if it wasn't for the Super Bowl win last year, it'd be a lot worse for you right now. I don't support, you know, vandalism and egging the houses and all that, but I can only imagine what would happen if we did not win the Super Bowl last year. That kind of mitigates the pain a little bit of this year. Like, just won a championship, okay, whatever. But it was a painful season to watch. I'll just leave it at that. But hey, onward and upward from here. So now we move forward to the potential candidates for the Philadelphia Eagles at offensive coordinator. The Eagles reportedly have Mike McDaniel and Brian Daboll atop of their list of potential candidates, with Kevin Stefanski and Cliff Kingsbury also in the mix. They said that they will give them a quote-unquote good look at those candidates. Todd Monken, a guy I was a big fan of, I mentioned him on the last show. I was hoping that he would be one of the top candidates the Eagles would look into intensively, and he is now reportedly heading to New York with John Harbaugh to the New York Giants. New York Giants making John Harbaugh the next head coach of their football team. Interesting hire, I will say. I think that Harbaugh, personally, I think he's a bit past his prime, makes questionable decisions, but I think he's far better than what they've had in the past, and I think that he will be a good voice for the emerging talents of Jackson Dart and Cam Scadabo and Malik Nabers, and can try and extract, you know, the potential out of them. So I'm excited to see that. The division's always fun when teams are good. So having Monken in there, I was big on Monken because of his track record of working with dynamic quarterbacks and prolific rushing offenses. I mentioned all this stuff on the last show. So I thought that he would have been a good fit here. But now him going to New York with Harbaugh, working with Scadabo and Dart and Nabers, Theo Johnson, and the talent they have on that offense over there. I'm interested to see how it goes. So we'll see. 5 years, 100 milli. Apparently Harbaugh got over there in New York. So we'll see. We'll keep a close eye on that. Other coordinator news in the NFC East that I forgot to mention. Jonathan Gannon. Did I mention on the last show? I don't remember, actually. But if not, Jonathan Gannon is getting interviewed by Dallas as well as Washington for their vacant defensive coordinator position. So it'd be interesting to have JG back in the division as well. All right. So on to the Eagle stuff. Let's talk about each of these candidates, McDaniel as well as Brian Daboll, what they bring, and kind of some of the reservations we may have with each of those guys. Mike McDaniel, now with Monken removed from the situation, McDaniel becomes my top choice. And his scheme would be electric for the run game. We saw what he did with Raheem Mostert, Devon Achan, and those guys. And I think coming here with Saquon Barkley and Tank Bigsby under contract for another year, I think it would be really fun to watch him run a scheme in Philadelphia. Now, as far as the passing offense goes, it would require Hurts to get a little bit out of his comfort zone, but it would surely elevate Hurts' ceiling. There's a lot of throws that need to be made over the middle and things of that nature. And not saying Hurts isn't capable, it's just that he hasn't been asked to do it as much over the years. So, but McDaniel will come in here and definitely have creative passing concepts for this offense. And Jalen Hurts welcomes the challenge. He wanted to do it this year, wasn't asked to do it this year. And McDaniel comes in here and says, hey, we're gonna go out there and we're gonna kill him on offense. We're gonna throw all over the secondary. I'm sure Hurts would love to hear that, because Petullo certainly wasn't saying that this year. So I would hope that McDaniel coming in here would elevate Hurts' passing game and get rid of some of these, you know, abolish some of these narratives that Hurts just cannot run a prolific passing offense. So I think McDaniel would be good for that. As we all know, McDaniel comes from the Shanahan coaching tree. He had one of the most productive offenses in 2023. Remember when they put up 70 points on the Broncos and all that stuff. But then regressed over the next two seasons, largely in part due to the injuries and the poor play of Tua and all of those things. I blame Tua for a lot of Miami's issues, and it seems that the organization is also feeling that way, considering Tua doesn't appear to be in the future plans of the Dolphins. But McDaniel also left the organization because they just want to go in a different direction. But I feel like the organization was like, this is more Tua's fault than McDaniel's fault, but we're just going to start clean and move forward anyway. So that is the deal for Miami. But McDaniel, the thing with McDaniel is he's getting a lot of head coaching looks. So I don't know if he's really going to be an OC. And if he is, Detroit is probably the main competitor to the Eagles. The Lions are heavily interested in McDaniel too. And McDaniel and Detroit, man, I don't want to go against that with Amon-Ra, Jameson Williams, and Gibbs and McDaniel over there cooking. That'd be tough to go up against. But you know, Sirianni owns Dan Campbell anyway, so it wouldn't really be that big of an issue. But I do start to wonder which, like, for offensive coordinator candidates, like, which job is more enticing? Would it be the Eagles job or the Lions job? And you have to ask yourself, is Sirianni, how involved is Sirianni going to be? We'll talk about that in a minute. And is Dan Campbell, like, personalities and that kind of thing? I wonder when offensive coordinator sit down and look at the situations and look at the rosters, and I wonder which one they view as the more compelling situation for them in their careers. But we'll find that out as the process unwinds here. And then you have to ask yourself, does Mike McDaniel and Vic Fangio get along? Because they were together in Miami, and then Fangio had the fallout, and a lot of players, you know, didn't have great things to say about Fangio, and Mike McDaniel didn't seem to be all that distraught when Fangio left. So I don't know where their relationship stands. I don't know how that dynamic would be. So that's something to keep in mind as far as Mike McDaniel goes as well. Brian Daboll, obviously we know his time in Buffalo. He developed Josh Allen into the MVP he is today. Tons of play calling experience, wouldn't have any issues there. With his personality, my biggest reservation is, will his personality mesh with Nick Sirianni? We know how fiery Daboll is. This man's the king, ripping off headsets, throwing it back on, smashing headsets, throwing coolers. Like, he's just a hothead on the sideline. And does having two hotheads with Sirianni and Daboll, how's that going to go? How is that going to look? It would be great TV. It'd be great reality television, but the Eagles, like, I don't think Lurie wants all of that attention if those two are so animated on the sidelines. So we'll keep an eye and see how they feel about that. But hey, if they really like Daboll, because Daboll and Sirianni worked together on the Chiefs staff back in 2021, I believe Daboll was head coach and Sirianni was wide receivers coach at the time. Or Daboll was offensive coordinator, actually, I'm sorry. And Sirianni was wide receivers coach for Kansas City back in 2021. So, you know, they do have familiarity with each other. And Daboll has the familiarity with Jalen Hurts as well. The history is there at college. He was the offensive coordinator and QB coach at Alabama with Jalen Hurts in 2017. Jalen Hurts threw 17 touchdowns to just one interception that season and also rushed for 855 yards. So Daboll is familiar with getting the most out of Jalen Hurts. But the story we all hang our hats on is Daboll is the big reason why Jalen Hurts got benched for Tua later in the year. And then you start to think, like, does Daboll really like Jalen? But then there's been multiple instances on the record where Daboll says he loves Jalen Hurts and, you know, he has nothing but love for him and wants to see him do well, this and that. So, you know, all that was tons of years ago back in college, and I don't think there's bad blood between Jalen Hurts and Brian Daboll, but, you know, that history is there between the two of them. But a lot of stars align for Daboll as well. Obviously, Daboll familiar with the NFC East, being the head coach of the Giants all that time. But I think from a personality standpoint, I think that's the biggest reservation we are going to have to keep our eyes on as far as that goes. But then also for these candidates, they're going to have to ask themselves, how much control will they truly have over the offense? Because even when Shane Steichen was here and even when Kellen Moore was here, they ran iterations of their offense, but they didn't have full autonomy of the schemes that they were able to run. And Kellen made it work. There was like a healthy push and pull balance there. But, you know, guys like McDaniel and Daboll and Stefanski and Cliff are going to want to come in here and run their show. And apparently there are reports saying that the Eagles have assured these candidates that they are going to have full control and have the keys to the offense with no interference whatsoever. Per Josina Anderson's report A league source also just told me initial talks with Eagles offensive coordinator candidates and their camps have gone well, adding that the feedback has been on wanting to have questions of complete autonomy over the offense, similar to what Kellen Moore enjoyed when he was with Philly. Those concerns were met with responses ensuring an elite candidate should not anticipate, quote-unquote, any interference, the source said. So it sounds like the organization is promising these candidates that Nick Sirianni will be hands-off on the offense. He's been heavily involved with when Kellen was here, heavily involved when Shane was here, even though Shane, I think to this day, Shane had the most control of any coordinator that's ever been here. But I think that this with the way that this year ended, with the way the Petullo nightmare is gone, I think that Lurie is essentially at the point now where, like, Sirianni, you are not coming anywhere near this offense. We are locking you out of those meeting rooms. You can go do something else, but you are not allowed to even remotely touch this offense. We need bright minds in here that can run the show, get the most of our star players that we're paying all this money to. We're paying AJ $30 million a year, and Devontae's getting $25 million a year, and we're paying Saquon $20 million a year, and that's resulting in 18 points a game. Like, we need more than that. Sirianni, the common denominator all these years has been you. This is not the first time A.J. Brown has voiced issues with the passing offense. This is not the first time that offenses have gone stagnant. This is not the first time we have experienced season collapses after starting the year, winning games barely, and then fizzling out at the end. The common denominator is Nick Sirianni. And at the end of the day, this is Nick Sirianni's offense. Just because someone else is calling the plays doesn't mean that it is not Sirianni's offense. So at one point or another, we're going to have to sit down and have a conversation about Sirianni's philosophy. And I know that he wins. Sirianni's philosophy is winning, win at all costs. But if your philosophy is turnover-free football, which is great, turnover-free football, we're not going to take risks. We're gonna get a lead, and then we're going to play not to lose. We're just going to watch the clock and hope it hits zero before we give up more points than would allow us to lose the game. But that is not the way to win and adapt in today's NFL. You have to adapt to remain successful. Nick Sirianni has refused to adapt, and this is why we have the years that we do. This is why we're wasting prime years of players, and that is not okay, especially with Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman. So now, and it's going to cost, all of this is going to cost players in the end, because you're going to lose guys. You're going to lose, you know, we have all these unrestricted free agents between Reed and Nakobe and Jalen Phillips. And all these guys, and it's going to cost, like, this was the last year all these guys were likely going to be together, and it costed you this and a chance to repeat because they had such an incompetent coordinator. And incompetent sounds mean and harsh, but it is what it is. He was in over his head. Kevin Petullo wasn't ready for the spotlight that was offensive coordinator. And I also blame Nick Sirianni for this because he basically endorsed his guy and said, yes, he's ready. And he read the room wrong. He read the situation wrong. And it crumbled and lit up in fire. It lit up in flames in front of his face. And now Kevin Petullo lost his job because of it. So as much as we hate Petullo and all of this, I also blame Nick Sirianni because Nick Sirianni thought that Petullo was ready, and he clearly wasn't. And this is why we're in the situation that we're in. But McDaniel, Daboll, would be happy with either of those guys. Would prefer McDaniel. We'll see more of what the Eagles think about Kliff and Stefanski in the coming days. They also have to, you know, entertain the Rooney rule. So we'll see who they interview for that as well. And they should take those candidates seriously. I hate that they have to interview these guys just to fulfill a rule, but I think that there's very good minority candidates out there as well. So we'll see who else the Eagles plan to entertain. And you also have QB coach, you have Scott Loeffler. Is that how you say his name? Scott Loeffler, who started to sprinkle, you know, we saw his fingerprints on the offense as the year went on when they needed new ideas. So maybe they look to him and say, hey, do you want to come in here and give us some new ideas? I can't fathom they throw him into another spotlight of offensive coordinator because an internal hire is out the question right now. But I think that he will at least get an interview. So that'll be interesting as well. Other coordinator news, last one, the Dallas Cowboys have requested to interview Eagles defensive backs coach Christian Parker for their defensive coordinator position. This is something that I knew was coming. Christian Parker is a hot name around the league. He's expected to become a defensive coordinator sooner rather than later. Helped turn Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell into all-pro players. And he also worked with Jaire Alexander in the past, you know, and made him the all-pro player that he was at that time. And his track record speaks for itself. And then people also look and say, well, what happened? He couldn't develop Kelee Ringo. Ja'Cory Bennett didn't look great underneath him. Some people just have the tools and they can't put it together. I don't fault that on Christian Parker. But Cooper DeJean and Q, they rave about Christian Parker. We made the mistake of letting I forget the other DB coach that went to the Ravens. I can't think of his name. The DB coach that went to the Ravens and had an amazing offense. But we can't make that same mistake with Christian Parker. I think I think the Eagles view him as the heir to Fangio, and I think that the plan is to keep Christian Parker around long enough so that he can become the defensive coordinator whenever Vic Fangio decides to inevitably hang him up. We don't have a timeline for when that is, but I think that that's the Eagles' plan. So we'll see if Christian Parker entertains those. We'll see if Christian Parker entertains those interviews. I can't see him going to Dallas, but a promotion is a promotion regardless of who it's with. So Denard Wilson, that's the guy, Denard Wilson, who left and became a great defensive coordinator. And that's the guy we wanted to keep around as well. So keep Christian Parker, hands off Dallas. I would like to keep him around as well. That's about all the news we have here today. Wanted to celebrate Kevin Petullo as promised. Talk about McDaniel and Daboll a little bit. It's going to be a fun carousel as the Eagles go through these interviews. I believe I just saw that they have their end of year press conference. I think Sirianni and Howie are having their end of year press conference today at 2 p.m. So we'll see what they have to say about Petullo and their process and what they're looking for next and all that fun stuff. We'll keep tabs on that as well. Thank you guys for tuning into this episode of the Philly Pod. Be sure to follow me on all social media platforms over at the Philly Pod, Instagram, Twitter. Be sure to follow all my written work at Eagles Wire on USA Today. And be sure to subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Enjoy your weekend, guys. Until the next one, y'all. Peace out from the Philly Pod.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.